today's episode of the Brains Bite Bat podcast, we speak with Mark Hirschberg, creator of Brain Bump, an app that helps you retain what you read and hear, and he is also an MIT instructor. Now, I initially wanted to have Mark on the show because when he first pitched me, he said something that really stood out to me. We invest time reading and listening, but it's inefficient. This is because where we read information isn't where we need information. And in our call, Mark elaborates on this, and he shares examples of why our memory fails us and what we can do to improve this. He also explains how his app Brain Bump works and how it can help us recall information when we need it most. I hope you enjoy today's episode. So, Mark, can you tell our listeners who you are and what you do, please?
Sure. I have a really interesting dual career. When I came out of MIT back in the 90s, I got into tech startups. I've spent most of my career building tech startups, mostly traditional ones, sometimes helping Fortune 500s play startup. And these days, I work as a fractional CTPO, a Chief Technology Product Officer, and have a few ventures on my own. But as I was developing that career, as I was moving up the hierarchy, I realized that to become a Chief Technology Officer, there were a whole bunch of skills that I would need that no one taught me. Leadership, networking, team building, communication, all these skills we've heard about, we've been told they're important, but no one stops to teach you how to do it. So I began to develop these in myself and quickly realized this applies to everyone in the organization. So I wanted to upskill my team as well. And while I was doing that, MIT was getting similar feedback. Companies were saying, these are the skills we want and we can't find it. Not just in MIT students or college students or engineers. Universally, we can't find these skills. So at MIT, we created a program called the Career Success Accelerator. I helped develop that over 20 years ago. I've been teaching primarily at MIT for the past 20 some years, but occasionally elsewhere, and then turned that into my book, The Career Toolkit, and then the speaking and app and other things. So I've had this dual career building tech companies, but also helping people with their professional efficacy.
Fantastic. Well, you have such a rich background. I think it's really hard to pinpoint really what I'd love to discuss with you. I mean, I've got some ideas in mind and we're going to go through them, but I mean, I think that your knowledge deserves so many more than just one episode probably, but I'm going to do my best to really like hone in on the subjects that I want to cover, and hopefully we get some really fun stuff out of today's episode. And I should say, initially, for our listeners, Mark reached out to me and I wanted to invite you on the show, Mark, because you previously presented a series of questions to me that really stood out. And I think a lot of our listeners will be able to relate to it as well. You asked, how often have you read a business or self-help book, only to forget 90% of it 2 weeks later? How much of your podcast episode does someone remember 3 days later? We invest time reading and listening, but it's inefficient. This is because where we read information isn't where we need information. Can you explain to our listeners what you mean by this last part?
We have a learning disconnect, and it's just the nature of how the world tends to work. When you get a book, you typically read it at home, but that's not where you're going to use it. So let's take a business book like mine. I have 10 chapters, 10 different skills. One of those chapters is on networking. You sit there reading it at home, but you already know your spouse pretty well, your dog, your kids. You're not really trying to network with them. It's 2 months later, as you walk into a conference, that you're thinking, oh, I need to network. I need to build relationships here. What were all those tips I read 2 months ago and I forgot? And what you want at that moment is just-in-time information access. Wouldn't it be great if 5 minutes before you walk into that event, you could just pull up, okay, here are the things I need to do. Here are the key tips. Put it right top of mind. And while in theory, you could have gotten a Kindle version of the book and you can skim through it, it's just not efficient. It's just not easy. I'm someone who takes notes on the books that he reads, and yet I never go back and look at them. So what if we could provide easier information access that is context dependent? Now, the other mode is more foundational. There's a chapter on leadership, a chapter on management. You don't know exactly the moment you're going to need to apply some leadership or management technique. But what if each day at 9 a.m., as you went into the office, you got a reminder? Think like a daily affirmation, But instead of just some positive feel-good message, it came from that book you were reading, that management podcast you're listening to, and it just pops up. You see it for about 2 seconds, and you say, oh, right, yep, that's good. That's something to remember. We know that repeated exposure to content helps you remember it. It's called spaced repetition. It's why we all open the textbook a few times before the test so we could better retain and remember it. And so by making our information accessible where and when we need it, the content consumers, the readers and listeners, get better, more timely, more relevant access, and not the, oh yeah, you're hitting me up with some information that's not relevant to me right now. I don't want to overload my brain, so I'm just going to drop it on the floor. We provide it when it is most valuable. This also helps the content creators, because the brand, the podcast, the author, the speaker, the class is now seen as more relevant to the content consumer, and it helps that brand as well.
Cool. I have to say, this is something that we've covered a lot in the past when it comes to like situations of, I suppose, I don't really know how to say or really, but like location dependent kind of information, how you, like you said, you learn it at home, but then you go to apply it in another setting. We've previously spoken
context
about
dependent.
Context yeah, dependent. That's yep. It. Yeah, we've discussed that before on the show, and I find that so interesting because it happens so much. I mean, you can even walk from your bedroom to your kitchen and then completely forget what you went to go get. So I think that most people or everyone listening to this must be able to relate to it. So I think it's really important that, yeah, we got to like tackle this. And if we're going to remember stuff better. And I understand you are working on Brain Bump, a patent pending app that combines the core functionality of a book summary app, a flashcard app, and daily affirmation app. You've kind of mentioned this a little bit before already on the call, but can you tell us what inspired you to step up and create this app?
It's recognizing that there is this disconnect. Now, I mentioned I have a book. I don't have other services. Maybe people with a book like mine are an executive coach and they want to build that brand to convert people from readers of the book to a higher revenue product. I have no interest in doing that. I do care about people remembering the content because I wrote the book to help people and I know they're going to forget most of it. So I wanted to help people retain it. Now, it also turns out that many of these brands do want to build that brand trust so they could get you to be a coaching client or some other product or service. And when I first came up with this idea, it was just for my book. We have another app that we're not really promoting called the Career Toolkit app that was just content for my book. Once we saw that worked, we generalized it to the Brain Bump app. And so what the Brain Bump app does, it takes the key ideas from the content, from the books, blogs, podcasts, classes, and talks, and think of it like a flashcard or a flashcard app. You've got these little tip cards that have ideas are about 1 to 4 sentences in length. Just kind of, here's the key thing. Here's what you'd highlight in a book. Here's maybe the clip that you take from the show. That's really the key point. And it puts it all in these cards. And then all the cards are tagged. Think like hashtags. So this way, when you go to that conference and you say, I need the networking tips right now, in mere seconds, you can open up the app, you tap networking, and there's a whole bunch of networking tips. Or maybe you go to the ones that you favorited because that's the key set. Also, you can use it where you set it so every day at 9 a.m. as you walk into the office, you get that leadership tip in this other example. You don't even need to open the app. And this is like the daily affirmation app part. You just get that little push notification, but at a time you set. I know I hate getting emails and texts and all this stuff that I didn't want interrupts my day. That's not valuable to either the recipient, even the sender, because now the sender is annoying you. So we set up that you can pull media to you instead of what we traditionally do, push media. I'm going to blast to my email list. I'm going to put something on social media and hope some people see it and it's relevant. We let people pull the content that is relevant to them, that context sensitive, context dependent information. So you can get either in the just in time or that daily notification at a time you set and control. And so this is allowing people to better retain the content, which is what I really wanted, but we're getting content creators to put their content on there because it also helps their brand. And this allows everything to be free. The app is free. The content on there is free. And everyone benefits from having this app.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. I really like the streamlined nature of it. And like you mentioned there, the networking aspect, you gave the example, like you need to jump in and get that. That's awesome. I personally really like another app that I use called Blinkist, where it just like simplifies books into like a 10-second reading. I have to admit that maybe sometimes they're a bit oversimplified, but I think that with so much knowledge at our fingertips, it can just be so overwhelming to decide where to turn to, what to read, how to consume it. So anything that like simplifies this process, I'm a big fan of. So this sounds great.
We're slightly different than those apps and not competing with them. So apps like Blinkist and other book summary apps, their typical model is for people like yourself who are very busy and you're saying, I don't have time to read a 200-page book or to listen to all these podcasts. Give me just the key idea and you can get the contents of the book in about 10 minutes. There's some criticism, particularly I hear in the author community. They say, one, you don't always get it right. As you point out, and what you summarize in 10 minutes worth of content, you might miss some of the points on the subtleties. The other complaint is authors don't like it. Blinkist does not engage with the authors in any way, to the best of my knowledge. These apps can summarize the book under the fair use doctrine. So they can take someone's book, say, we're going to summarize it. We're going to charge the content, the app user. They charge, I think it's something like $7, $10 a month. And the author says, wait a second, now all these people are going to just pay you, get the value for my book, and ignore me. And that's often used as an alternative to the book. We are designed more to be a companion to the book or podcast or other source of content, that when you listen to these podcasts, when you go and hear a talk, this is what helps you better retain it after you've done it. Now, of course, you can use this as an alternative. You can use it either in exploration fashion. I've never read this book, but let me check it out. Let me see what the tips are like, see if it's worth buying it, reading it. Or you can use it as an alternative, but that's actually the least common model we have. And again, our app is completely free, unlike Blinkist and the others.
That's really interesting. I've never, sadly, I've never actually looked into how they interact with the authors themselves. I assumed it might have been something like a Spotify model where maybe they get like some sort of payment each time it's played, but I had no idea about that. And of course, like, thank you for clarifying the difference there. And I also want to say as well, like when you reached out, you did mention like how much of your podcast episode does someone remember 3 days later? And that really stuck with me. So like as a content creator myself, I'm really curious to know, like, what should content creators consider if they want their content to have a lasting impact on those who consume it?
If you think about the nature of how you put it out, and this applies to podcasts, but let's use social media as just kind of an easier example. Imagine you tweet something this afternoon. Here's some great advice that you have. You tweet it out at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Well, first, half of your audience, maybe even more, they're not even on social media that afternoon. They're too busy, so they ignore it. Then those who see it, they say, yeah, that's great. You have some great leadership advice, let's say, but leadership's not where my head is right now. I'm trying to hire. My company's growing. I've got to hire lots of people. I'm focused on how we recruit. And it's not until maybe 3 months, 6 months later that they say, now I'm thinking about leadership. I hired all these people. Now I have to lead them. How likely are they to go back and say, well, let me look at all your old social media to find what might be relevant. Let me go look through your podcast for the last 2 years and see if you have anything on leadership. We're less likely to do that search. And this applies to our podcasts, which are chronological, to our social media, to our newsletters, to our email. So much is done linearly and particularly chronologically that's inefficient. Really, to have that lasting impact, you want your content to land right when it is most relevant. Again, this context dependent, this saying, now I'm focused on leadership. Now I'm focused on recruiting. And you want to make your content easily accessible. Now, BrainBump, the app, that's one way to do it. But here's just some other ways to think about it. My book, for example, I mentioned there's 10 chapters, 10 skills. You don't have to read it in order. Someone can say, I want to improve my negotiation skills. So they buy the book and they go right to chapter 9. They skip 1 through 8, and that's fine. And they don't have to say, oh, I'm reading all this stuff. Yeah, yeah, that's interesting, but not relevant to me now. And then later they might jump back to chapter 1. How do I create a career plan when that's relevant to them? My blogs on my website, they are ordered chronologically, but they're also tagged by topic. So again, on my blog, you can say, I don't care about all your posts. I just want to get your posts on networking or your posts on leadership. That's relevant to me. So when you think about creating content, think about how to make it accessible where someone can literally within seconds get what is relevant to them. Because the difference between 3 seconds to access it and 10 seconds is really the difference between whether they're going to engage with it or not, and whether you can have any impact, let alone a lasting impact on your audience.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to this scarcity of time. Like we've already spoken before on the show, it really does make a big difference how easily something is to just have access to and how quick it is to, I suppose, how much time it takes up. Now, I want to kind of change the subject a little bit. I know that you're a multiple CTO and an MIT instructor, and with such a deep history in technology, I'd be really curious to know, like, what excites you or like currently at the moment when it comes to technology, and how do you foresee like this technology that does excite you impacting our future?
There's a couple of different areas that excite me and a couple of different ones that horrify me. So exciting me, I do think this concept of pull media, of context-dependent information, really is the future. I'll just give you another example. Now, one that was maybe a misstep along the way, think about Google Glass. Now, Google Glass, that had a whole bunch of sociological problems, but the concept was certainly valid. That imagine we're walking down the street. I haven't seen you in years, but Google Glass recognizes you and it pulls up. Here you are. Here's the last communication we had. Here's your social media feed so I can see what's been going on with you. And I suddenly get all the information relevant for the conversation we're about to have. So I think Brain Bump is one of the first steps in this area, but there's going to be a lot more. And so this concept of context-dependent information is going to be huge. One of my other areas is cybersecurity. That's what my graduate work was in. That's what I've been focused on and off of for most of my career. And it's finally coming to the forefront that people are saying, wait a second, this actually really does matter. Privacy does have a cost, not just on the side of we have to spend money to make it, but as someone who benefits from having privacy, from having security, I'm willing to pay something to get that. And so I'm excited about the changes we're seeing. We're finally starting to build better systems. Long way to go there. Some of what scares me, blockchain certainly, there is nothing you can do on blockchain that you can't do with a regular SQL server. And I think it just gets overused and abused. I think cryptocurrencies, I've said from the start, going back at being in cryptography, this was on our mailing list going back well over a decade. I went to some of the early conferences 10 plus years ago. From a financial standpoint, cryptocurrencies are meaningless arbitrary tokens that have no value. I worry more generally about distributed systems because everyone's saying Web 3.0 distributed. When you're distributed, you have all the same challenges that central systems have without the economy of scale. You still have to deal with things like user management and content management and legal issues, but you don't have scale. Now you have to deal with it. I have to deal with it. He does, she does. And so I think it's going to get a lot more complex, and people are going to discover as you scale, it's not as, the benefits don't necessarily outweigh the costs. And then finally, AI. And here, it's a double-edged sword. Obviously, AI has some really great implications. I just had a blog post this week. I said, AI is just a calculator crossed with a nuclear reactor. And those who say, yes, it's a tool, it's a calculator, it's not going to take away our jobs, are right in that it will change our jobs. It will take away some of the jobs, but will allow us to focus on more higher value, more complex services, and that's all good. That's good for society, even if some people have trouble making a transition may acutely find it not so good. But then when you look at societally, we typically add regulation post-innovation. This is why we had the Industrial Revolution, and then the Ohio River caught on fire because no one said, what happens when we start dumping all this waste into the river? And it was years, decades, and here we are 100 plus years later, we're still trying to figure out how do we actually make sure we don't just destroy the environment. And my worry is when it comes to AI, if we don't think through the regulatory implications soon, it's going to just go out there and do what the Industrial Revolution did to our environment or other technologies have done to us. And that can be very dangerous.
I got to say, I'm an optimistic guy, but hearing that definitely plants some seeds of doubt and some fear in me, Mark. I'm going to be having nightmares about that. But I do really want to check out that blog post nonetheless. And I'm pretty sure our listeners would as well. So yeah, please send that over to me and we'll be sure to include that in the show notes. And finally, really, brain bump aside, I'm really curious to know, like, what are you focusing on at the moment? Like, what's on the horizon for you?
My two main projects, Brain Bump is one. The other is a company we're not yet publicly visible. We're working on some, in the cybersecurity space, we're working on identity and making sure you know who you're talking to, who you're engaging with, that it's not a scam, it's not fraud. This is a problem that we've had since the beginning of the internet because of how the internet was intentionally designed for reasons that were, I think, valid at the time, but here's another case where the implications weren't fully thought through. In my prior company, Averon, we were doing an authentication system. Here we're doing something, I'd say, in an adjacent space in terms of validating identity.
Cool. Well, I have to say, I feel like this conversation overall really sums up how I have come to find technology throughout this whole podcast. There's a lot to be excited about. There's a lot to be afraid of, but in general, it is so interesting and I cannot wait to see what comes from this, good or bad. And I'd love to keep up with the work you're doing. And if other people as well on this podcast do want to reach out with you, connect with you, or keep up with what you're doing at Brain Bump and beyond, then how can they do that, Mark?
I'm going to give you two websites. The first is brainbumpapp.com. And that's the website for Brain Bump. From there, you can go to the store where you can download the free app. You can see how Brain Bump works. And if you are a content creator interested in getting your content on the app, at the bottom of the page, there's an apply here. You fill out a form, tell us a little about you. We'll be in touch. So all that is at brainbumpapp.com, where you can get the free Brain Bump app. The other website I have is for the book, thecareertoolkitbook.com. And there you can learn more about the book, where to buy it, Amazon, other places. You can get in touch with me. You can follow me on social media. There's a whole bunch of free resources at that website. I don't even collect your email because I have nothing else to sell you. But I also have my blog there. And so if you go to that blog, and we'll put the URL in the show notes, there, if you look, you can find my blog this week. We're recording this the second week of February. And so my blog post from, I think it was the 7th, February 7th, is AI or ChatGPT is just a calculator crossed with a nuclear reactor. And you can find that blog post and many more there, all at thecareertoolkitbook.com.
Excellent. Fantastic. Well, we'll include those in the show notes as well. But yeah, Mark, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Growing a company has many hurdles, from securing funding to expanding your business capabilities to ranking better on search. Each business challenge is uniquely complex. The solution to these challenges is growth-focused digital PR and marketing, and that is where our sponsor, Publicize, comes in. Publicize sets itself apart from traditional PR companies. It does not charge large retainers or churns out press releases, whether you've got a newsworthy announcement or not. Publicize builds businesses' online presence and gets high quality PR and media coverage for startups and entrepreneurs who are priced out of a broken PR industry. What's more, listeners of Brainspike Back can find the tools and resources they need to overcome common hurdles that many startups face when trying to generate long-term growth by visiting publicize.co/BBB. That's publicize.co/BBB. That is it for today's episode. Thank you for joining us. I hope you've learned something, and if you have benefited from today's episode, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, as these reviews really help us grow the show. You can also follow us wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. Just search Brainspike Back and you will find us. We hope you join us for more episodes in the future, and until then, take care.